From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns commences the first of four messages called Four Steps in Spiritual Warfare. The text is chapter 6, verses 36 through 40. In response to the cries of the children of Israel for deliverance from the bondage of the Midianites, God called and commissioned Gideon to lead the battle. The text contains the famous account of Gideon's fleece, as he sought for assurance that God would really be with him. Many valuable lessons are contained in this passage, among which is the need for the Lord's servants to prove God. Gideon was only a man, but God graciously bore with his weak faith and confirmed the promise of victory. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Harvest of Light, Gladness. The text is Psalm 97 and verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Righteousness is often costly to the man who keeps to it at all hazards, but in the end it will bear its own expenses and return an infinite profit. A holy life is like sowing seed. Much is going out, and apparently it is buried in the soil, never to be gathered up again. We are mistaken when we look for an immediate harvest. But the error is very natural, for it seems impossible to bury light. Yet light is sown, says the text. It lies latent. None can see it. It is sown. We are quite sure that it must one day manifest itself. Full sure are we that the Lord has set a harvest for the sowers of light, and they shall reap it, each man for himself. Then shall come their gladness, sheaves of joy for seeds of light. Their heart was upright before the Lord, though men gave them no credit for it, but even censured them. They were righteous, though those about them denounced them as censorious. They had to wait, as husbandmen wait for the precious fruits of the earth. But the light was sown for them, and gladness was being prepared on their behalf by the Lord of the harvest. Courage, brothers, we need not be in a hurry. Let us in patience possess our souls, for soon shall our souls possess light and gladness.
Come, O Lord, Son, to His word and
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to be born a man? Why does God allow suffering? What is the unpardonable sin? And what's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such questions. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. But we're also pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 20th century Christian. You may have a copy of the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Returning this evening to the book of Judges, we're going to read tonight at the end of chapter 6. I was going to read chapter 6, 36 through to 7, 21. But if we get beyond chapter 6 tonight, it will be a surprise to me, and therefore I'm going to leave off reading any in chapter 7. But if the Lord enables me to be a lot faster than I usually am, then I'll draw your attention back to the later part of what should have been our Bible reading. But chapter 6 of Judges, verse 36, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt see of Israel by mine hand as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this very familiar passage from his word for his name's sake. The call of Gideon ushered in a new era for the beleaguered children of Israel. It saw the commencement of a period in their history that was marked by revival, and it was marked by great blessing from God. A time of the uprooting of apostasy that had cursed the land for quite some years, and a time of defeating the armies of the Midianites, whom God had used to chasten the land of Israel. When we last saw Gideon, those of you with long memories may be able to recollect this. This goes back now to the middle of December. So when we last saw Gideon, he had broken down the altar of Baal. He had rebuilt the altar of Jehovah. He had blown the trumpet in Israel. And 32,000 men of Israel had answered that summons, coming at his call to do battle against the Midianites. And so the scene was set for a very decisive battle for national freedom and for spiritual purity. From the verses we have read tonight through to verse 21 in chapter 7, you have what I call four steps in spiritual warfare. As I say, I doubt that we're going to cover them all tonight. But if not tonight, in the will of God, we will finish them in due course. Four steps in spiritual warfare. As you examine the experience of Gideon and the people whom God raised up to serve under Gideon, you will discover a very clear and telling parallel with our day, with God's people in this day, and with the experiences we must have if we are going to know the blessing of God upon our lives and upon our service for Him. In the passage we have read tonight, we find, first of all, Gideon proving God. Gideon proving God. I realize that there are some commentators, and not a few preachers, who are very, very sore on Gideon. They condemn him outright. They say the Lord gave him a promise. He gave him a call. He gave him an undertaking. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt deliver Israel. He then sent an angel. That angel did a special miracle. And the fire fell upon the rock. And that should have been enough to convince Gideon. But yet they say, Gideon tempted God by saying, yet, Lord, I want this miracle with the fleece, and then another miracle with the fleece. I realize that that case can be made. But I also realize that Gideon was but a man. And somehow I cannot really believe that if Gideon were the deep-dyed, wicked sinner in this instance, actually asking for an ungodly thing, as so many preachers try to make out, I cannot really believe that the Lord would have crowned such a thing with such a wonderful exhibition of His grace and of His power. I think that there may be something to be said for the views of some commentators who feel that Gideon was thinking more of the people who were called at his trumpet blast at this particular time than he was thinking of himself. Sure, his own faith was still weak. After all, he was but a very insignificant man from a very insignificant family in a very insignificant tribe. And arrayed before him was the greatest military force of that particular day. His faith was weak. But the faith, as turns out to be clearly stated by the Lord in the following chapter, the faith of the people who were called at his summons was even weaker. And it could well be that Gideon felt, I have had a demonstration personally, alone with God. I need something now for these people. But whatever the internal workings of the mind of this man, Gideon felt that he needed to prove God. Now I would say, there is nothing that is more urgent as a general observation of truth. There is nothing that is more urgent for people who are setting out to do the will and the work of God than personally to have proved God. We have a race of preachers today who know of God out of a textbook. They have learned of God from what somebody else has said, but they have not personally, in the moment of personal crisis and of personal fellowship with God, ever entered into the deep things of God and ever really, personally proved their God. The work of God needs men who have proved God for themselves. Prophet Malachi challenged his people in chapter 3 in that famous statement in verse 12. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. God, far from frowning on a people who want to prove Him, challenges them to prove Him. Prove me now, herewith, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When Peter was in the ship, storm-tossed and in great danger, and the Lord Jesus came walking on the waves and saying, Fear not, it is I. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the water. I want to prove God. And while again so many preachers emphasize Peter's later failure of faith and his beginning to sink, I stand in awe of the faith that proved God, that Peter actually stepped out of the boat and walked upon the water. I think we sometimes forget that it wasn't only Christ who walked on the water. It was Peter too. Prove God. The Lord Jesus once said to his disciples, after they had toiled all night and caught nothing. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. They looked at him and they said, but Lord, we have toiled. We have been out all the night. We have been as expert fishermen. We have been to the best places. We have used our knowledge and we have caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy command, we let down the net. And out they went to prove God. Gideon here is proving the Lord. It's a very interesting way in which he proves the Lord. He takes a fleece and he lays it before the Lord and asks first that it will be wet with dew overnight. There's a very heavy dew in Palestine, as it's now called, but in Israel. And he said, let it be dry on the ground all around. Then later, let the ground be wet and let the fleece be dry. Very interesting that he should use the fleece. In many ways, I think that fleece is a perfect picture of Gideon's own life. First of all, he only had it because of the death of a lamb. That's how he got the fleece. That's how he had the life that he enjoyed at that time. It is a very, very important thing for you and for me to recognize that the life we have is not our own. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he says, don't you know you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Your life is like that fleece. It is yours because the Lamb of God died. The Lamb of God gave up his life in order that you might have life. It's yours by the blood of Christ. What a wonderful thing that the eternal life that throbs vitally within us is because of the blood of the Lamb. There's the gospel in a nutshell, you know. Some of you in this meeting tonight, you have life as the world calls it, but you have death as God calls it. Dead in trespasses and in sins. All that the world thinks is the glorious evidence of life, God says is but the noise of rattling bones in a graveyard. You're dead without Christ. But oh, you can have life tonight. Life through the blood of Christ. Life through the slain lamb. You can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust that before you leave this house tonight, you'll make sure that you have real, spiritual, everlasting life by faith in Jesus Christ. And once you have that life, like this fleece, it must be brought to the Lord. He gives it. It must be given to him in total surrender and dedication. I find in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 4 that the fleece is offered to the priest as a first fruit. I find there a wonderfully clear and simple spiritual lesson. My life is but a fleece. It is given me as the gift of God through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not given me to spend on self and sin. It is not given me to dissipate in worldliness. It is given me in order that it should be laid at the feet of him who purchased it for me. It should be rendered back to God in dedication and love to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.